If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 116, and we'll continue with the next few verses that we're looking at. So we'll read the whole Psalm, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So reads God's word. And we'll be looking at mainly, well, just this evening, two verses, verses 8 and 9. So we started this, quite a while ago now, I think. And I think the last study we looked at verses 5 to 7. And I think that was back in June, or maybe July now. So I'll just quickly recap and go over what we've already seen. It's a very personal psalm. We don't know exactly who wrote it, but it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's like the writer is basically saying a thank you to God for his deliverance, for his blessings upon this person. It could be David who wrote it, or it could be someone like Jonah. As I've looked at before, we've looked at Jonah chapter 2, and there are a lot of similarities there. And for them and for all of us, really, there are many reasons, aren't there, why we should thank God, why we should love God. And we should love God because he's brought us, he has heard us, he has brought us out of great distress. And for us, for you and me today, if we're believers, I think that great distress can only be summed up as sin. Which of course leads to death. But here we read that there is obviously something which they are facing, and it appears to be impending death. So David or Jonah or whoever the psalmist is here are remembering how the Lord has delivered them from this dire situation. And a lot of these... And in every case, really, whether it's David or Jonah, this situation that they are in has been brought about by their rebellion, by their sin against God. And of course, that situation has become so bad that they can do nothing except call upon God. As verse 4 says, I call upon the name of the Lord. But unfortunately, I think in David's case and Jonah's and many others, it's almost like it's a last resort, isn't it, to call upon the name of the Lord, which is so sad. It should be the first port of call for all of us. And we've all had these experiences, have we? Haven't we? We've had experiences where we feel like we're almost to despair, and all we can do is just cry out to God for deliverance. And in the last study we looked at, we saw how God is gracious and shows great kindness, and how he is willing to stoop down and incline his ear to to those much more inferior, to sinners like you and me. And it's a wonderful thing to think that God, Almighty God who created heaven and earth, will stoop down, incline his ear to listen to us. Isn't that wonderful? And of course, the psalmist here turned to the Lord. We read in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. These men, whoever the psalmist is, had faith in God. We read also how he preserves the simple, those who simply and humbly trust in the Lord for salvation, for everything in this life. And he has shown the psalmist, and of course he shows us the emptiness of this world. And over time, I think the purpose is to wean the psalmist, to wean us off the things of this world, so that we one day will be ready to leave this world and to go and be with him. So now we're coming to verse 8 and verse 9, which I will just read again. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So verse 8, it says, for you have delivered my soul. Now, throughout this, let's remember what it says in verse 1. Now, verse 1 is basically the summary of everything that comes after it. I love the Lord because. So here in verse 8, we can say, I love the Lord because he has delivered my soul from death. Life has been saved. For David, or for Jonah, or for David, for example, fleeing from Saul. At one stage he was surrounded by the Philistines, and then he managed to get escape from them. He was delivered from that. I'm not saying that this psalm is written about that. I think we read Psalm 57, which Pastor James has recently gone through. I think that's the one which is written for when he was escaping from the Philistines and Saul and went to the cave of Adullam. But there are numerous other occasions, aren't there, in David's life when he faced angry people, people who wanted to take his life. His soul had been saved from death on many occasions. Or in the case of Jonah, where it's obvious to see that when he was in the belly of that fish, death was imminent. It was, you know, right there in his face. It would have been, I think, difficult for him to actually get away from that. If I just turn to Jonah chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, I'll read, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. That's how he was delivered from that situation where it seemed everything was impossible. It seemed certain that he would die. Now, this word delivered, if we go back to the Hebrew, it actually means to be withdrawn. So it's almost like, it's almost saying that the possibility of death has been taken away. The possibility of death is gone. Remember verse 1? I love the Lord because, I love the Lord because he has withdrawn death from me, from my soul. That our souls have been withdrawn from ever seeing it. If we think of the spiritual death, an eternal and judgment, you know, an eternity in hell. If we are believers, we have been delivered, haven't we, from that death. We will never see that if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And we know that because we are told that Christ will never leave any of his children. He will never lose any of his children. He searched out for the lost sheep, didn't he? The shepherd searched for the lost sheep until he found it, and it was not lost. You and I this evening, if we are believers, if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, we cannot be lost. I think we should take great comfort from that. And that's a reason for us to say, I love the Lord, because he has saved our souls from death. He has saved our souls from an eternal punishment for all of our sins. But also says, I love the Lord because he has saved, delivered my eyes from tears. I love the Lord because he has delivered my eyes from tears. Tears, crying. Crying for fear of death. Crying in distress. Crying in distress because of all the sins which one has committed. David or Jonah. Whatever those sins may be. And we can read plenty about David's life. We don't read so much about Jonah. He's not such a prominent character. But with David's life, of course, we read a lot about his sin, don't we? And I think if I were to ask anyone if they could just list one sin, I think we'd probably all end up with the same one. Where he steals another man's wife, commits murder, and he has sinned against God. But also here we see that the Lord has delivered us from our eyes from tears. The tears of death, the tears of distress. We've got to remember that death, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ, it has lost its sting, hasn't it? And as I said, Jonah's death seemed very imminent. But death has lost its sting because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he has done and how he has paid the penalty for our sins. And he died on our behalf. But it didn't end there, did it? He didn't just die. He rose again. He has conquered death. So death, we no longer need to cry over these things, cry for the fear of these things. But as well, he has delivered us from the tears for fear of offending God, of angering God. Tears over our sin and rebellion. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that we shouldn't cry over our sins, because I think we should really in a way, because it shows that we have a tender conscience. But what we have to remember is, as God's people, as the children of God, we have our sins dealt with. Our sins have been taken from us. They've been washed away. They were imputed to Christ, weren't they? They were laid upon him, and he took the sin, took the punishment for all our sins. Now, I'm sure we've all wept over our sins. I hope we have, really. But why would we weep over our sins? Because of the judgment? Because of what our sin deserves? I'm sure that is the case for some of us, but I hope really that we've wept over our sins because of what it's done to our Saviour, what it's done to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need cry no more. We need no more tears. If we read about David's sin with Bathsheba, well, not about that, but if we read the psalm after, that David wrote after Nathan came to him and pointed his sin out to him, those first four verses, I'll just read them. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. They're the words of a man who is truly condemned, truly sorry, a man who is weeping over his sins. But of course, after he confesses his sin, after he has acknowledged that he is a sinner, we read, don't we, those wonderful words from God through Nathan. He says, the Lord has put away your sin. Isn't that wonderful? That God had put away this sin that David had committed. You know, I think we're all so thankful that these accounts where David sinned and many others in the Bible are recorded, like Jonah, Peter, I think we're all so thankful that they are recorded and that these people are proven to be the Lord's people. And I think if these weren't recorded, I think we would very much struggle in our day-to-day lives in the way we have failed God in so many ways. But the next point in verse 8, it says, and my feet from falling I love the Lord because he has delivered my feet from falling, from being forever lost, from being cast into outer darkness, from being cast into hell. Our Lord has delivered his people from that prospect. And that's great reason to love God. Now we know David and Jonah and many others fell or stumbled, shall I say. And they stumbled spectacularly, really. Yet God did not just leave them like that, did he? He did not think, well, they've sinned against me, I'm going to turn my back on them and just forget them. He drew them back to himself. They were not lost. They were brought back into this loving, everlasting relationship with God. Now, Jesus Christ, in the Gospels, he says to his disciples that in the world, you will have tribulation. It's something that's promised us. We're not promised an easy life. We will go through difficulties. It may be persecution. It may be struggling in some sin. It may be various things. We have difficulties. Things that cause us to stumble. Peter stumbled, didn't he? He denied Christ. And we do. We will stumble. We may end up denying Christ, like Peter did. I remember a time when I was at school. I wasn't a Christian, but I can remember in an RE lesson we were talking about God and the existence of God, and I went along with the crowds and said, no, I don't believe in God, just because I didn't want to be ashamed of myself for believing God. But I knew deep down that I was completely wrong. I knew that God did exist. I knew God was real. Okay, I wasn't a Christian at the time, but it was something that it's one of those things that I can remember now and I am utterly ashamed of. So it's almost like just denying Christ. And denying Christ is actually, it's almost denying the opportunity to share with people the gospel, even if it's handed to us on a plate. We are denying Christ. So there's Peter, David, Jonah, and many other people who stumbled, who sinned greatly. Yet in God's mercy, he drew these people back. He restored them by his grace. And although we sin and stumble, we must keep coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep turning to him in repentance and faith. So we love the Lord because he has delivered our feet from falling, because he has taken away our sins, past, present, and future. That's amazing, isn't it? That's something that I think we all really need to remember, that he has taken away our sins from the future. All those times that we will stumble. But the amazing thing is that he has delivered our feet from ever falling. As believers, we cannot be lost. And as believers, there's no need for us to fear judgment. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I think the day of judgment is going to be a horrific day. And I think really, when we know it's imminent, when we know we are going to the judgment, I think we'll be terrified. I sincerely think we will be. But really, we need not fear if we are the Lord's people, because he will take us safely through, won't he? He will take us safely into heaven, the other side, to be with him forever and ever. So we can love the Lord, we can thank the Lord, because he has delivered our souls from death, an everlasting death. He has delivered our eyes from tears, the bitter shame, the sorrow of our sins, and he has delivered our feet from ever falling completely, from ever being lost. So what is the result of that? Well, verse 9 says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's the result, isn't it? Now, there are two things I want to point out about this verse. Firstly, I will walk before the Lord. I resolve, I will devote my life to him in worship and service to God because of all that he has done for me. I think later on down here it says in verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We will walk with our Saviour. That's what we must do. Surely, if God has done these things for us, our desire then is to walk with him in the light of his word, to walk amongst his people like we are together this evening, to remember that we are in his sight and we must do all things which were in accordance with his word, in accordance with his will, and of course seeking to please him and to glorify him. All those things. That was the desire of the psalmist here, to walk in gratitude, really, to the Lord, to walk with him because he loves him. Secondly, it says, in the land of the living. Is that not walking with him, walking in heaven? Walking in heaven with the Lord. If God has delivered us from death, delivered us from all these things, then one day we will walk with him in heaven. And I hope that that's a wonderful prospect for us all. To walk with our God, to be forever praising and forever worshipping him. I wonder this evening, is that your desire today? To be with him forever and ever? Do you love him? Do you love him because he has delivered you from death? Because he has delivered your eyes from tears? Because he has delivered your feet from falling? Even though we may struggle, we may fail on many occasions, do you not love him? Because of all that he has done, because of all his benefits towards you. And then, if you love him, do you live out your faith? I've just had a fantastic week with Sports Reach, and you know, with Sports Reach, I see people who really love God, and they are living out their faith day by day, and it appears that, you know, they're doing it much better than I can. But it's what I want to do. I think it's my desire. I hope it's our desire as a church here to live our lives for him, to live a life of faith, to put our trust in God and really live it out. It's very easy to say things, to say what we should be doing, to say what we shouldn't be doing. But actually doing those things, it's actually much harder, isn't it? After all God has done for us, what should we do? We are given great cause to be thankful to him, to love him, and to serve him. As Jesus Christ has delivered us, has saved us from sin, has saved us from eternal damnation, then we are to love him, we are to serve him. Not out of duty, although we do have a duty to love him and to serve him, but we should do it out of love. We love him because he first loved us. And then do we long to be with him? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Is that something that we really want to be with all those who are alive, all those who have been enlightened by God? Is that your desire to be with them, your brothers and sisters, forever and ever? Psalm 27 verse 4 says this, one thing, just one thing, it's a psalm of David. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was saying that was his one desire. And I hope that is our one desire this evening. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And really, to be with God forever and ever.